Welcome, everyone. My name is Coley, and I'm so glad you've joined us today for our online service. If you're new or joining us for the first time, welcome and thank you for being with us. If you have a prayer request or if you want to connect with the pastor, you can contact us through our app or email us at the email address on your screen. Our Christian Assembly LA app is available to download on both Android and Apple devices. You can find out about our upcoming events, you can access our daily Bible reading plan, and our past weekend services videos are on the app. I just want to take a moment to thank you for your ongoing support and generosity. We encourage you to give online through our Christian Assembly LA app or on our website by clicking on the Give tab. You can sign up to give online through either the app or website if you haven't done so already. And for those of you that are mailing in your offering, you can make your check out to Christian Assembly Church and send it to the address below. If you want to make a decision to follow Christ now or at any point during our service, you can email us at the address on your screen. Or you can text the word decision to the number 52855. And one of our pastors will personally follow up with you and pray for you and encourage you in your next steps. Thank you for being with us today online. We encourage you to continue to worship with us for the rest of the service. Before we pray, I want to just give an exciting update on some of our ministries. Our Vacation Bible School recently concluded, and we had over 300 kids participate. Also, there were Zoom calls each week with many kids sharing and growing together in Jesus. We also had over 100 students participate in our CA Students online summer camp. One student said this, quote, "Not only did I have fun, I learned about the power of forgiveness and healing and had good conversations with my Zoom group," end quote. That's awesome. Will you join me in praying? Father, thank you so much that you're with us. Thank you that you never leave us or forsake us. Lord, I just commit to you all the students who were involved in our programming the last month. We pray that you continue to reveal yourself to them, Father. Bless us today as we worship in your holy name. Amen. Let's worship together.
The Bible says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. So that's what we're going to do in this moment. Let's sing this hymn of praise. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee.
Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before thee. Hail me as the sun above. Mount the clouds of sin and sadness. Drive the dark of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness. Fill us with the light of thee.
All thy works.
All thy works with joy surround thee. Earth and heaven reflect thy ways. Stars and angels sing around thee. Center of unbroken praise. Field and forest, vale and mountain, blossoming meadow, flashing sea. Chanting bird and flowing fountain call us to rejoice in thee.
So let's do it together. You bring us joy.
You bring us joy, joy, joy. We adore thee. You bring us joy, joy, joy. We adore thee.
Let's take it up. Thou art giving.
Thou art giving and forgiving, ever blessing, ever blessed. Wellspring of the joy of living, ocean depth of happy rest. Thou art Father, Christ our brother, all who live in love are thine. Teach us how to love each other, lift us to the joy divine.
Let's sing, you bring us joy.
You bring us joy, joy, joy. We adore thee.
sing, a mighty fortress is our God.
A mighty fortress is our God. A bulwark never failing. Our helper, he amid the flood. A mortal is prevailing. For still our ancient foe does seek to work us woe. His craft and thou are great. And armed with cruel hand, on earth is not his equal.
If we in our own strength,
if we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. We're not the right man. The man of God's own choosing. You ask who that may be. Christ Jesus, it is he. The Lord of hosts, his name. From age to age, the
Well, do you believe it? Do you believe it today that we can run to our God who the Bible tells us that he is our fortress. He is our great defense. We can run to the shadow and hide under the shadow of his wings. And I want to invite you, to challenge you, and to call you to, in this moment, to cling to the God who is the rock of our salvation. Only him and him alone will we find our strength. A strength for the day, a hope for tomorrow. So Lord, our prayer, so you would give us eyes to see you, ears to hear, hearts that would understand. Help us to be sensitive to the movement of your spirit among us, in us, through us. Would we be beacons of hope and of light in the places that you have placed us? Help us by the power of your Spirit to be your witnesses of your goodness, of your grace, and of your love. For he's going to lead us.
There's no darkness in your eyes. There's no question in your mind, God Almighty. God of mercy. There's no hiding from your face. There's no striving in your grace, God of mercy. God of
declare it. There's no borders.
there's no borders in your love, no division in your heart, the God of heaven, the God of freedom.
There's no taking back.
There's no taking back the cross. No regret.
Good news. Bree.
Good news, embracing the poor, comfort for all those who mourn, for the brokenhearted. We sing louder, release from prison and shame, oppression turning to praise for every captive.
Restoring sight to the blind, breaking the curse of the night, for all in darkness, we sing louder, proclaiming freedom for all. This is the day of the Lord, beauty for ashes. Let there be light, open
us to be fully submitted to your will, to your way, in every part of our hearts and our lives. Would the light of your love and the light of your truth come and shine upon us, we pray. Thank you for your goodness, for your grace. Well, this week we're going to be starting a new series on the Sermon on the Mount. And this first weekend, we're taking a look at the Beatitudes. And Tommy Walker wrote an incredible song that comes straight from the pages of Matthew chapter 5. And he originally recorded this a couple months ago with an incredible brother and worshiper and musician, Abe Laboriel. So we wanted to share this special song with you. So this is called The Beatitudes. Thank you.
in the spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are all those who mourn, they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are all those who thirst for righteousness. They are the ones who will be filled evermore, filled forevermore. And great, yeah, He is there. Blessed are the merciful, they'll be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, they will see God. Blessed are the ones who bring peace, they will be called children of God. Blessed are the ones who've endured persecution, living for all that is right. Theirs is the kingdom. And when they are falsely accused, they can rejoice, evermore rejoice. Hey! For great is their reward. And great can be His reward for you and me. Take it, baby.
Hey, welcome everybody. I am so glad that you've chosen to join us for this time, and it's going to be a gift to be together. I have been praying for you. For those of you that are part of CA, you'll know that I was on my summer break. For any visitors or guests, maybe you didn't know that, but welcome. I'm so glad that you are here. I have been praying for you as well. Some of you are just exploring faith. I've been hearing stories of people investigating faith and catching us online, and I'm so grateful that you are with us as well. Well, if you had to guess, what would you think the number one topic that Jesus spoke about or taught about is? What would you guess? Got your guess in mind? Maybe some of you would guess the topic of love, or maybe the topic of faith, or maybe prayer, maybe justice, maybe community, maybe even money, who knows? But the reality is that it's none of those things. The number one topic that Jesus spoke about was something that he called the kingdom of God, also known as the kingdom of heaven, those two phrases used interchangeably. In fact, Jesus' first public declaration in the book of Matthew is about the kingdom of heaven. This is what he says in Matthew 4, verse 17. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." While I was on vacation, I read about an interesting bike race that occurs in India, but this race comes with a little bit of a twist. The goal of this particular race is to go the shortest distance possible within the allotted amount of time. Now, the key is that your feet can't touch the ground, so really, it's a race, but it's really a test of your skill of balance on the bike. Now, let's imagine for a moment, maybe you're a tourist and you travel to India and you hear about this bike race and you even enter the race. And so you get there, but you don't know kind of how it works. And so you shoot off as fast as possible, assuming that to win the race, you have to go as far as possible, as quickly as possible, because you assumed that you knew how the race was designed to work. And yet, ultimately, you would lose the race because the race didn't work that way and you assumed you understood how it functioned. I would say the same thing is true with this thing that Jesus calls the kingdom of heaven. If you wanted to win the race in India, you'd have to go to the person who created the race and say, "Tell me about what this race is about and how it's structured and functions and how it works." And so that you would know kind of how to participate. Likewise, if you want to know about Jesus and his kingdom, then you really need to understand this thing that he calls the Sermon on the Mount. Because Jesus announced the arrival of the kingdom, and then the next thing he did in the book of Matthew is he gave his longest sermon ever, the Sermon on the Mount, which is about the kingdom of God. He gave it so that we would have a clear understanding. We wouldn't make any assumptions. There wouldn't be any miscommunication what this kingdom is about and why it matters for your life, how you can identify it, and how you can become part of it and participate in it. This sermon, it deals with all sorts of practical, everyday topics like how to pray and how to forgive others and what matters most in life, how to handle anger and lust, why it's important not to worry, and how to overcome anxiety, and so many more things that we deal with in our life, but all of it through the lens of the kingdom of God. Sometimes we'll see that this kingdom works differently than we ever would have guessed, kind of like that bike race in India. And knowing how the kingdom best works will help us know how we can take our place in it. So whether you are spiritually convinced or unconvinced, whether you are just joining CA for the very first time, or whether you're a longtime part of our CA family, we are going to jump in this weekend and every weekend from now until Thanksgiving in the Sermon on the Mount, because I am so certain, as I've been praying for our church, that God has something deep and specific he wants to say to each one of us from Jesus' most famous sermon. So we're going to dig in, but before we do, will you pray with me? So God, now I pray for every single person who's hearing my voice, and I ask God you would speak to us from your word. Lord, in these turbulent times in our nation, I pray for our nation. I pray for our elected officials. Give them wisdom. I pray for every person who's working on the COVID crisis every epidemiologist, every researcher, every vaccine creator. Lord, I pray for them, that you'd give them wisdom and insight and breakthrough. I pray for the city of Los Angeles, God, that you would teach us to love one another well. I pray for all of our schools that are wrestling how to best educate children, and teachers are wondering how to best do that, and administrators. Pray for every small business leader and every single artist, musician, everybody, Lord, who's impacted by this. We pray, God, that you would speak to us now from your word. Heal us, heal our land, turn us to you and your kingdom, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, when Jesus first makes his public declaration, we learn two things about the kingdom. First, that it is come near. So this is not a distant kingdom. It's not a far-off kingdom. It's a near kingdom. And something about this kingdom requires the word repentance, which is a word that just means that you're going to need to change your mind about some things and change your heart about some things. Well, Jesus, he then went up onto a mountainside. That's why this is called the Sermon on the Mount. And his disciples, but not only his disciples, a whole crowd of people gathered around. And he then said to them this famous sermon. And we're going to pick it up, and it'll give us a deeper understanding of the kingdom of heaven. So we pick it up in Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. And Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets, who were before you." Well, as part of preparing for this series, I actually got a hold of a set of notes that a guy named Don Pickerel used whenever he preached through the Sermon on the Mount. Now, Don Pickerel was the senior pastor of Christian Assembly about 45 years ago whenever he preached on this sermon, and he began with this opening line. He said that the Sermon on the Mount is Jesus teaching us how to live as kingdom-ready disciples. I love that phrase, to live as kingdom-ready disciples. Jesus begins the teaching with nine marks that will be evident in the life of those who are living as kingdom-ready disciples. Now, the word that Jesus uses here that we translate blessed in the Greek, it's actually makarios. And we don't really have a great English word for makarios. Often it's translated blessed, so that these nine marks are often called the Beatitudes, which comes from the Latin for blessed. Sometimes the word makarios is translated things like happy or fortunate or even the word congratulations. And so Jesus starts his most famous message by saying, congratulations. But then it's kind of bizarre because things that he says aren't really things that we would be excited about. None of us goes up to someone who's mourning and someone who maybe has been persecuted and says to them, congratulations, you're so fortunate that you're mourning. You're so fortunate that you've been persecuted. But that's exactly what Jesus says. What Jesus is saying is, congratulations, or blessed, or fortunate are you if these marks are evident in your life. Why? Because they are the marks that you are living as a kingdom-ready disciple in and for the kingdom of heaven. Makarios, blessed, in the Bible, it's not so much a feeling that we have as much as it's an action that God does in our life. I've been to Africa several times, and I've gotten to see this blessing in action. In fact, I remember one time vividly, I was walking through some villages with some of the African pastors that we were partnering with, who had served and loved the people in that community for decades and decades and decades. And the children of this area, they would see these pastors coming, and they would run up, and they would stand in front of them, and as a form of greeting, they would simply bow their heads. And so eventually, after seeing child after child do this, I asked one of the pastors, why are they coming and bowing their heads in front of you as a greeting? And he said, well, what they're wanting is for us to place our hand on them as a blessing. So we place our hand on their head and we say a prayer of blessing over them. Now, when the children left, they would run away and go back to whether school or playing or what at work, whatever they were doing. I don't know if they felt blessed or not, but the reality is they were blessed. You see, you can be blessed without feeling blessed at any given moment in time because our feelings can go up and down. Blessing is not just something that you feel. Blessing is something that God chooses to do. Now, the key to understanding all this is that in all of these blessing statements that we just read, there's two verbs. The first one is that are, and the second one is will. Jesus is saying that you are blessed. You are blessed if you are in the kingdom of heaven that has come near. But because it's not yet in its final and fullest form, some days you might not feel blessed. Jesus is saying, now listen, you are blessed because you will, and he goes on to a list of great things that are going to happen. So he's saying, one day your feelings will catch up to the reality when you see the kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven in its fullest and final form, if you are living as a kingdom-ready disciple. Now, we read all of the 9 Makarios statements, all of the blessed are you statements that Jesus used to give the whole picture of the opening of his sermon. But for the next 3 weeks, we're just going to look at 3 of them each week as we work our way through it. So let's take a closer look at the first 3 of the congratulations statements. The first one is, congratulations, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven. To live as a kingdom-ready disciple means that you are marked by being poor in spirit. This is so radically different than the message and posture of the culture of that day, and I would say of the culture of our day. When you listen to the cultural narratives of our day, the problem is always out there, and we are the answer. But in the reality of the kingdom of heaven, we are actually part of the problem, and Jesus and his kingdom-bringing works are the answer. You see, until I realize that the problem isn't just out there with those people, but it's in here with me too. Until you realize that you too are part of the problem, that we each are deeply in debt before God and we have no ability to redeem ourselves, until we realize that, we won't even desire to know about God and his kingdom. Likewise, if you believe maybe that God owes you something, that he ought to answer your prayers and bless you for the many good things that you've done, that's what I would call being not poor in spirit, but maybe being middle class in spirit. You start to feel like, well, God owes me, and I've earned a certain standing with God through my hard work. You see, when you think that God owes you, when you think you're entitled to something, when you think you've earned it, then you're not really being genuinely poor in spirit. You know, you go and browse up bookstore, and there are a lot of books about how to succeed and how to make it to the top. But notice here, Jesus doesn't say, blessed are those with a robust ego. That's not what he says. You know, a book about how to be poor in spirit wouldn't probably be a bestseller these days. What is so obvious to God is that we are hopeless without his action in our lives. Is that obvious to you? Is it obvious to me? So often in our lives, if you're like me, we want to blame and excuse and rationalize and explain away our sin. well, if I sin, it's not that bad, and I know others who do it worse than me. You should see those other people, and if I do sin, it's not really my fault. It's because of my job. It's because of my teacher. It's because of my parents. It's because of my kids. It's because of my neighbors, and the list goes on. See, a person who is poor in spirit says, God, without your action on my behalf, my situation is hopeless. It's like the true story of two brothers, Giza and Zlatpelada. Their mother was a harsh woman, and they ended up being estranged from her. And they never actually met their extended family growing up. The two brothers grew up, and they were so poor that they literally lived in a cave near Budapest for years. And they would leave their cave of a home, no windows, only to scrape together whatever scrap metal they could find and sell to make just a very subsistence living. Theirs, you would think, would be a hopeless situation. Until one day, everything changed. You see, their maternal grandmother had been looking for them. Now, she had actually passed away before she found them, but in her will, she made a provision that paid an attorney to find them at all costs. The attorney was eventually able to hire private investigators who were able to find them and share that these two brothers had just inherited a substantial portion of their grandmother's $6.6 billion, not million with an M, but billion with a B, fortune. And just like that, these two destitute brothers, should they want to, could go from calling a cave home to calling a castle their home. They were the beneficiaries of love and an action of someone else. They didn't earn it. It was simply because of the love of their grandmother who was searching them out, trying to find them. It's not a story of how great they were. It's a story of how loved they were. Likewise, Jesus says, congratulations to the poor in spirit. Why? Why would we be blessed? Why would we congratulate someone who's poor in spirit? Because the first mark of living as a kingdom-ready disciple is that you know that the only hope you have is if God loves you enough to track you down and change everything about your situation, and more so even change you. That's what it means to be poor in spirit. And Jesus says, congratulations. Because if you're poor in spirit, it's a mark that you're living as a kingdom-ready disciple, for the kingdom has come near. The second thing he says is, congratulations, blessed are you who mourn, for they will be comforted. To live as a kingdom-ready disciple means that not only are you marked by being on your knees before God, acknowledging your spiritual poverty, but now we see that you're congratulated if you're mourning. Now, why would mourning be a mark of a kingdom-ready disciple? This isn't just kind of generic sadness that Jesus is talking about. Remember, the Sermon on the Mount is about the kingdom of heaven. This isn't a generic sadness where maybe a drug dealer loses their drugs and is sad over that. Jesus isn't saying to that drug dealer that the mark of the kingdom will be that God's going to comfort you with a loss of the missing drugs. No, this is about the kingdom. And kingdom-ready disciples are marked by a certain kind of sadness where you are mourning the present condition of God's people and God's program in the world. Jesus makes it clear that to live as a kingdom-ready disciple means that you don't have to live with a perpetual grin on your face, that you can grieve, that you can mourn. And yet, neither do kingdom-ready disciples give in to despair, because their ultimate trust is that God's kingdom is near. It's here, but not fully realized yet on earth as it is in heaven, as one day God promises it ultimately will be. I love how the pastor Tim Keller says it on this topic. He says that people who are Christians aren't stoic. That means to think like, I'm not going to let any of this get to me and I'm going to have a stiff upper lip. He says they're not stoic and neither are they sinkable. He goes on, Christians grow both sadder and happier at the same time. That is spiritual maturity. The happier you are in your true hope, the more it enables you to enter into and be involved in suffering in people's lives. You can feel the pain of the world. You can even feel your own pain better. But at the same time, that pain drives you more into the joy. Now, why? Why would it do that? Because you know that God has promised that one day you will be comforted. When? Well, partly we're comforted now, here and now, because the kingdom has come near by God's word and by his spirit. So we're comforted now in partial ways by the promises of God. And we did a whole series of that in the spring, looking at the promises of God that you can go back and listen to if you missed that. But we will be comforted in full and final ways when God's will is done on earth as it is in heaven, fully and completely. So Jesus is saying, congratulations. One of the signs of being blessed by God is that you mourn now at your sin, at the brokenness of the world. But you are blessed if you actually have that mourning in you, because it is a mark that you are hungering for something different than what this world offers. That you are living as a kingdom-ready disciple. And one day, you will be fully comforted when God's will is fully done on earth as it is in heaven, which God promises will one day indeed happen. The third statement that he makes to open this famous sermon is this. He says, congratulations, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Now, this shows that the Beatitudes, these blessed statements, they're not just a list of timeless truths. We all know that if you look around today, the meek have not yet inherited the earth. We live in a culture that celebrates pride, not meekness. No one today would say, you know, when I read the headline news, when I look around me, all I see around me is meekness. No, that's not what we see. In fact, in Genesis, Adam and Eve, they were prideful, and so they departed from God's good plan. They didn't trust God, believe God and his word, and they departed from his good plan and from grace. Proverbs 16:18 says it this way, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit or an arrogant spirit before a fall. You see, when our culture wants to celebrate arrogance or pride, it's only saying that it will ultimately be destroyed. Why? Because the meek will inherit the earth. You see, your belief about Christ shapes your understanding of discipleship. If you believe that Jesus is the humble king, then it only makes sense that those who want to live as kingdom-ready disciples would be marked by humility, marked by meekness, not by pride. To live as a kingdom-ready disciple is to be marked by teachability and tenderness towards God, and tenderness and compassion and kindness towards one another. Pride is never a mark of living as a kingdom-ready disciple. But meekness must never be mistaken for weakness. You see, Jesus was meek. He was humble. But he also had unbelievable power shown by his miracles as well as his love for his enemies. See, it's easy to be full of pride. It's easy to hate your enemies. Anyone can do that. But to be genuinely meek is to be marked as living as a kingdom-ready disciple. And notice that all of these congratulations statements, they kind of build on each other progressively. Kingdom-ready and kingdom-living disciples are marked first by being poor in spirit. They know that their only hope really is God. And they look around and they mourn the state of the world when they consider God's good plan and the evil and brokenness and how far we've departed from that. But they don't just mourn all of it out there. They mourn it even in their own life as well. And that creates a meekness in them. They're not arrogant. They're teachable before God. They know that they desperately need God and that they are hopelessly lost without Him. They mourn the state of God's ultimate purposes in the world as they look around right now, and they reject arrogance and pride as a way of life. Now, that doesn't sound like much reasons for congratulations or for celebration or for blessedness, and yet those marks on our lives now mean that we will be included, we will be blessed when the kingdom comes fully in its largest and final form. We will be comforted one day, and we will inherit the earth, and the kingdom of heaven will be ours on earth as it is in heaven. And for that, then, we truly are blessed and fortunate, and we truly should say to one another, congratulations, if these characteristics are marking your life, because you are fortunate, because they are the signs that you are having a change of heart from the old way of living and thinking, and you are entering into the kingdom that Jesus has brought near, that you can enter into by faith both now and forever. Will you pray with me? Even now, I pray, God, as we apply your word to us, would you do it by the power of your Spirit into the hearts of each person that is hearing this message? Let me ask you, is there anywhere where you once again, maybe for the very first time, you need to say, I am desperate for God? I am poor in spirit. I have no hope in this life or for eternity apart from God. The good news is God is coming looking for you even right now. Just like that private investigator that was hired to find those two brothers who were living in a cave, Jesus, the Son of God, has come looking for you, and he's coming with good news that you can repent and you can enter into this kingdom of God, for he has brought it near to you. How do you do that? You just pray and say, God, forgive me. I need you. Change me from the inside out. Change my heart and my mind. Teach me your will and your word so that I might live to follow you, to live as a kingdom-ready disciple both today and forever. Listen, if you prayed that prayer, would you let me know? You can text in, you can email in. I'd love to follow up with you. So grateful for those of you who have made decisions to follow Christ even recently into with the family of God. We welcome you into the family of God. Continuing on, do you mourn for the state of God's program in this world? I know, like me, many of you do. You kind of feel sad and discouraged. It can feel like, why is the world like this? And let me just encourage you, congratulations, because that's a mark that you're both living and ready to have a kingdom experience with this humble king. But also remember that it won't be like this forever. In fact, you will be comforted when you see God's kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Maybe others of us, is there anywhere where, as you think about it, you're not marked with meekness? Anywhere you need to confess pride or arrogance? Jesus, if you're the humble king, then we don't want to be arrogant people. Maybe you needed to pray like me and say, I want to be a kingdom-ready and kingdom-living disciple. Change me from the inside out. Give me a freedom of no longer having to be insecure and arrogant and bitter or prideful. Give me the grace to be meek and humble and teachable so I can learn from you, God, and be part of your kingdom. Let me tell you, church, those of you who are listening, pride is a heavy burden to carry. There's a great freedom in being meek and choosing meekness out of a position of humility, because that's part of being marked as a kingdom disciple. And lastly, Lord, this week, whether we feel blessed or not, would you help us see that if we repent and believe the good news of your kingdom, if we enter into your kingdom by faith, that indeed we are and I am blessed because of what you have done, God, in bringing your kingdom near through the work and life and death and resurrection and ascension of your Son, Jesus Christ. And one day, your kingdom will come in its fullest and final form on earth as it is in heaven. Until then, Lord, may we enter into your kingdom and live as kingdom ready and kingdom praying and kingdom anticipating people for your will on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And let your mercy rise. Let your hope resound. Let your love in our hearts be found. Let your grace run free. Let your name bring peace. Heaven come in the here and now. Let your mercy rise. So let your mercy rise. Let your hope resound. Let your love in our hearts be found. Let your grace run free. Let your name bring peace. Heaven come in the here and now.
This is our prayer. Let justice. So let justice roll like a river wild. And let mercy grow like a burning fire. And let it come in the here and now. Your kingdom come till it rules the earth, and your will be done all around the world. And let it come in the here and now. So let justice roll like a river wild, and let mercy grow like a burning fire. And let it come in the here and now. Your kingdom come till it rules the earth, and your will be done all around.
All are welcome here, as we are, for our God is near. Every heart,
all are welcome here.
All are welcome here, as we are, for our God is near. Every heart,
thank you again for joining us online today. If you made a decision to follow Jesus, please email or text us so that we can follow up with you. I want to remind you this week of our daily touch points and our digital discipleship this Wednesday night, which are available on all of our social medias. You can find and follow us on any of our socials, Facebook, Instagram, or YouTube. Let me close with this benediction. Now may God, the inspiration and fountain of hope, fill you to overflowing with uncontainable joy and perfect peace as you trust in Him. And may the power of the Holy Spirit continually surround your life with a super abundance until you radiate with hope. That's from Romans 15:13 in the Passion Translation. See you next week, CA.